So we're approaching this review of The Last of Us from two different perspectives. I've played the video game. Bahir has not. So he is coming into this completely blind. He is coming into this as a regular TV viewer. I'm coming to this as someone who truly loves the game. I have mixed feelings about part two, but part one, The Last of Us Part One, I think might be one of the finest games ever made. With that in mind, I have to say that this series is the first great TV show of 2023. We're only 10 days in.
Yeah.
This thing is phenomenal. But before I get into my reasons why, I want to ask you.
Sure.
I'm assuming all you knew about it was that it was critically acclaimed. You knew nothing about the inner workings of the story. You didn't bother reading about any of that shit, right?
I knew Ellie wasn't Joel's daughter.
Okay. That's the base knowledge you went in with. Great. That's good.
That's literally base knowledge, right? I knew the game is very intricate. I knew the game had a very good story. I'm just one of those people who play games and I cannot be bothered with the story. I just want to play the goddamn game, right? I don't need all these things. Yeah.
You're like, too many cutscenes. Come on, give me a skip button.
Yeah. You know, like when I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn, when there's a dialogue cutscene, that's when I go to the toilet. That's when I get water. Like, I don't give a shit. Just let me beat up stuff. That's kind of how I play it. So every time someone tells me I have to play The Last of Us, and anytime I see clips of The Last of Us, it feels like there's just too much story. I appreciate the art of it. I understand people really love it. I give it props. But it was never a game that I felt was going to be for me. So I skipped it completely. So the only thing I know about The Last of Us is that Ellie isn't Joel's daughter.
So as someone who is completely new to this story, to this franchise, to this game, do you think the TV series stands alone as something that the mass audience can get into?
Oh, abso-freaking-lutely. I've seen seven episodes. And there's at no point was I left with this, oh, I wonder if I played the game, I'd know more about this. Whatever this may be. At no point did I feel that. And I appreciate when writers do that. I appreciate the fact that Neil Druckmann, the writer of the game and the writer of the show, is able to sort of bridge that gap without having me be worried about homework.
And that's the genius of it, right? I think that is why The Last of Us is so fucking great. Because Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann do enough on both accounts. They satisfy the fans. There is a bunch of fan service there. If you've played the game, there are nice little Easter eggs for you to pick up on, and you can get your cheap thrills that way. God knows I did. But also, even if you know nothing about this, it is just a beautiful post-apocalyptic story with phenomenal characters that is incredibly well written. I mean,
yeah,
it does write everything that Why the Last Man did wrong.
I would go even further back. I would even dare say something like what Neil Druckmann and Craig Mazin were able to do in these seven episodes was more character, more storytelling, more the right kind of drama than the four or five seasons of The Walking Dead that I saw. As I was watching this, a lot of it feels a lot like The Walking Dead.
Of course, because this isn't a show about zombies.
Our two heroes are traveling across the US for a reason. They're encountering small bands of bandits and little towns and all that stuff, right? It feels like a lot of the elements of The Walking Dead. But what I really loved was the fact that it didn't decide to take 17 seasons to do it. There's a point that happens in the middle of this season where I felt happened too soon, only because in a lesser show or in a show like The Walking Dead, this is a season 3, season 4 point. Here, it's an episode 5, episode 6 point, and it feels like they're really, really quick.
The other thing I really loved about The Last of Us was how episodic it was, in that they have borrowed from the game. The game has about 12 chapters, including an epilogue, I believe. this one does feel at times like adventure of the week. There is an overarching plot, obviously, but there are times when it feels like an adventure of the week, and I really appreciate that because it feels like Ellie and Joel are moving on with their story from town to town, encountering new people, and so on. But in so doing, we also get these incredible backstories of these side characters. And the thing that Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann do really well is that they don't ignore these side characters. They spend the time to make them real and believable. They give them fantastic backstories and pathos and all of that stuff, which even the video game didn't do.
Right.
Like, we're not going to spoil anything in this podcast because there's so much to talk about. But if you've never played the game, we don't want to ruin that experience for you. If you've played the game, however, there's very little to spoil because all of the plot beats remain the same. The journey is a little different, but the changes are polished more than anything else, right? There aren't crazy changes that make this thing unrecognizable. All of the changes are Neil Druckmann fixing perceived imperfections he probably had with his own work from 2013. And I think they're very, very welcome. They're executed very, very well. And as a fan of the game, I'm so pleased that this is the direction they took. But having it do that episodic structure leans into what television is supposed to be. This doesn't feel like a 9 or 10 hour movie.
Yeah.
And I think this story works so well with that episodic structure.
There is a real respect given to the form and the format. We've talked about at length how places like HBO tend to not go past the 50, 52 minute mark, you know. And even though they don't have ad breaks, even though they don't have to adhere to that traditional 42, 23 minute mark, they do because there is a muscle memory with regards to how you tell a story over 52 minutes or 42 minutes in a 3-act structure. And I think Netflix's forgetting of that with their episodes running in the hour, hour and a half, like Stranger Things ran for too long on a lot of episodes. Whereas here, there are no moments that feel unnecessary. There are no moments where I sat there going, just move it along. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
There is absolutely no filler here. Every moment counts. Every character means something.
Yeah, and even then, there are a couple of episodes which felt like bottle episodes. No, actually, which are essentially bottle episodes, but they are some of the best bottle episodes.
One of those bottle episodes, episode 3, actually runs long. It runs for over 80 minutes, but you don't feel it because it is one of the best fucking episodes of television we've ever seen. Period. Not just in this series, period.
Oh, easy. Yeah, that's an easy shout to make. And I think that bottle episode coming in episode 3, I was surprised because, again, I don't know the game. I don't know these characters. And when that happens in episode 3, I felt like, this feels like it should have happened later. This is one of those episodes that would happen in a season 2 of a lesser show where they've just run out of ideas or they're just trying to deliver X number of episodes. Whereas here, it feels absolutely beautiful.
But I think it says something that they actually just want to tell the story in the best possible way that they can. It doesn't feel like they're looking to go for 11 seasons. It feels like, hey, we have this story that we absolutely love. We want to tell it. We know where the beats are. We know that stretching it out is going to make it pointless. And so we get to where we need to get to when we need to get to it. And I think that's the key. And episode 3 for me was the moment when I realized just how much refinement they were putting into the game. Because the characters in episode 3 play out very differently in the series than they do in the game. And I think it's all the better for it. Because sometimes, I guess, in video games, you have characters that can be somewhat two-dimensional. And what Neil Druckmann has done is to take those two-dimensional characters and make them more human. And so when you watch episode 3, you get the story of these two characters, which are mentioned in passing at best in the video game. And you get a whole hour or so dedicated to fleshing it out. It is just, it's unheard of. And just unbelievably well done.
And even where it sits in the run, right? Like, Yeah, I guess in some ways you could move it a little later if you wanted to. But where it sits now is beautiful because we as an audience are also just coming into this world, right? So in a lot of ways, Ellie and us, the audience, are coming into it. It's the same. Ellie knows that there's a wider world out there that's filled with the infected, etc. So in some ways, so do we. But we don't know how they get there. We don't know what happens. We don't know these things. When specifically episode 3 happens, it is beautifully sort of framed within the Joel and Ellie road trip story. And it just works so well.
The execution of this series reminds me a lot of Sweet Tooth. In that it's this pandemic story that fits in a world that has just gone through a pandemic.
Mm.
It's not miserable. It's not depressing. Yes, there is tremendous sadness in the world that they inhabit. But at the same time, the showrunners have managed to infuse humor and heart. It feels oddly life-affirming. It's weird to say that about a post-apocalyptic show. But there's just enough hope. Like, there's this glow of hope that runs through all of their adventures that make it somewhat life-affirming. And I think that's absolutely crucial because you're telling the story that runs the risk of just making the audience feel shitty about themselves and the world. And I think that was the thing that The Walking Dead always did. Because it was so misery, 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 violence, 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 after a while, it got tiring. And I think the great thing is that balance that they've struck with The Last of Us means that I wasn't tired. It means, I mean, we were lucky enough to get the 9 episodes so we could binge it. And it meant that I did want to watch the next episode almost immediately. I had to stop myself because it was 2 in the morning, but I did want to watch the next episode almost immediately. That's just superb writing.
And can I just say, don't take this as an excuse to skip watching it as it drops and hopefully binge at the end. Because if you're listening to this, you are probably, let's just say, internet enabled and you are locked in with the social medias. You're going to get spoilers. So just watch it as soon as you can. Don't wait.
I think that's part of the experience as well. I go back to what I was saying earlier about its episodic structure. And I think they've structured this series in an episodic way in order to make you want to wait week to week. There's enough of stuff to talk about with your friends about episode 1 while you wait for episode 2 and 3 and 4. There is so much layering and richness within each of these episodes. And it's been a long time since I've seen a post-apocalyptic TV series that actually makes me question my own view of the world.
Hmm.
There is an incredible opening segment in episode 2 that's set in Jakarta that was just, whoa. It was like, what, 5 minutes by 10 minutes? No, 8 minutes, something like that. Quick. It was so
something like
short,
that,
efficient, and it'll make you question everything. It's so good.
None of that was played for longer than it needed to be, right?
Correct.
Because in episode 1, Jakarta's name was dropped just as a news piece. And okay, cool. Haha, look, Jakarta, you know? And then we see it in episode 2. And there's a reason we see it. And there's a reason that we see it for as long as we do. That's it. It's enough. Let's move on. Yeah, dude. Like, it hits all the right feelings for me. I mean, I really, really liked the first season of The Walking Dead. The second season, them being stuck on the farm, got draggy. And then after that, they rode the train tracks and then got to the jail and then that got draggy. There's just too much move, stop, let's just do drama here. People fight, people argue, people make love and kill zombies. And then, oh my God, one of them's infected. Kill that guy, then move on. It just became repetitive. Whereas here, you're right, there is a hopefulness in this post-apocalyptic world. There is a respect for the audience because we've seen so much of this before already that they don't need to double down on that.
Also, there's a real timeliness to the show, not just because it's coming off the pandemic, but because of the direction that it takes, right? In 2013, when the game came out, I mean, it was so long ago, I forgot I played it on the PS3, not even the PS4. But in 2013, right, when the game came out, the word pandemic wasn't even in our vocabulary. We weren't talking about it. And even now, even today, we talk about the pandemic, but then we're also kind of cocky and arrogant to go, hey, look, man, we survived. We created a fucking vaccine. Humanity is awesome.
Yeah.
Which is why this idea of a fungal pandemic is so clever. Like Neil Druckmann wrote it in 2013. He released the game in 2013, but he had tremendous foresight because even that element of a fungal pandemic completely subverts our expectations and undermines everything we already know, therefore instilling more real fear into us because now we're thinking, oh shit, there's no vaccine for this. Nothing can kill this thing except a bullet to the head. Yeah. And so it actually becomes scary. So there is this fear, there is this horror that runs through the entire series. Like nothing is jumping out at you and giving you jump scares. No. There's just this foreboding dread that exists throughout the show. And so you're constantly tense. Like when Ellie is walking around with Joel and telling a silly joke, at the back of my mind, I'm like, oh my God, is something going to happen? They're laughing. Why are they happy? What's going to happen? Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Can I ask?
Yes, the joke book is in the game as well.
Okay, cool. Before I ask my question, there was something else I wanted to get to first. Is the game, I mean, you edit this out if you think it's spoilery, but does the game have as few infected fight scenes as the series does? Because I will say, I'm surprised at the lack of, or not lack, but the infrequency of these infected attacks.
I would say there's more action in the game because obviously there has to be. Like there's adventuring in the game as well because you're climbing things and looking for things and doing stuff. But there's also a lot more shooting in the game than there is in the series. That said, it's still not the main objective of the game either. Like the game is also packed full of all of these themes of love and hope and loneliness and despair and blah, 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 selfishness, everything, right? Which is why I go back to it being one of the best written games ever made because Naughty Dog and Sony managed to like pack all of these themes, make them poignant and relevant and deeply philosophical while still allowing you to shoot things. So it was very well constructed in that way. But yet again, I don't think, given what you said earlier, it's a game you'll enjoy playing because yes, there are long spates of conversation and cinematicness in between you actually playing the game.
Right.
And so the TV series does shift its focus slightly away from the clicking zombies, but their presence is always felt because you don't know when they're going to come. Like episode 5 is another just phenomenal episode. And I won't give away anything that happens in it, but it's that kind of buildup of tension that finally gives way in 5 and then you're like, whoa!
I don't bring it up as a knock against the series. I think even with its decidedly lack of appearances of the infected, I think you're right, there is still a tension because very early on we are introduced to them, right? We see them very early. So you understand and you have an immediate radar with regards to the potential dangers that is out there. And I thought that was really well done.
There's one big difference though, which is also a very, very clever change given the world we live in today. In the game, the infected spread the infection by way of spores, which are airborne. And I think they cleverly changed it for the series because obviously right now when we think of an airborne infection, we're just like, I just wear masks.
Yeah.
Why aren't people not wearing masks? Yeah. What's happening? Why are they stupid? You know? So to avoid all of that, they've spread the infection in a new way, in an interesting way. It's a hark back to old zombie stories, but it really, really works.
I'm surprised at how well this series sort of appeals to me in that I didn't play the game, in that I was so badly burned by The Walking Dead. On some level, I was, I wouldn't say really apprehensive, but I was really holding in my expectations for this.
I think it just goes to how concisely this thing is written. I think concise is the word. It knows when to breathe. It knows when to move the action forward. It knows when to take a pause. It embraces the silences. It does all of those things that great writing should do. And I'm really impressed. Like in my review on the site, I talk about how I feel odd calling this an adaptation because the game was so cinematic. The game had so many set pieces that were magnificent, that are so memorable. The game had these phenomenal characters. And yet, to adapt that would be to do something different, maybe, right? For the sake of it, but they don't. in many ways, this feels like a remake. And so they've just kind of refined and polished all of those things because they know it works. So why fix it if it ain't broke? And that's what these guys do very well. I think that's a lesson for anyone who's trying to do either a literary adaptation or a video game adaptation or adapting a TV series into a movie. Keep the stuff that works, man. I think the biggest mistake is that they don't. Look at fucking Uncharted. Just adapt the first game as is and you would have a great adventure movie. But no.
I get why the Uncharted thing turned out the way it did, because they were trying to jump on the Tom Holland bandwagon, right? So that's what they had to do as a prequel. Because if you do any research with regards to that movie, Mark Wahlberg was supposed to play the Tom Holland character. And the fact that they had to then sort of rescale it and retime it, which you're right, I think is a mistake. Because people just want to see the fucking game, you know? I've played a little bit of the Uncharted game and I was sorely disappointed with the movie.
I think the greatest success of The Last of Us, apart from all the other stuff we were talking about, performances, writing aside, production design's incredible. You know, this is a HBO premium series. I mean, it looks it. But the greatest success of The Last of Us is being able to win over the fans, because video game fans are almost as bad as comic book fans, and have complete mass appeal. I think anyone can watch this. I don't think they even have to know it's based on a video game. It doesn't matter. It just works by itself. It's so strong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is an easy show for people to get into if you just like an HBO production. You know, if you're not expecting a comedy, you won't be disappointed.
Correct. So in this review, we have avoided any and all spoilers, but we think there is a lot to talk about the show. And so Bahir and I have decided that we're going to do weekly recap episodes when they drop, because there's plenty to deep dive into in this series. And we think that everyone who's watching it is going to be very interested in getting into those nitty-gritty details. So stay tuned. After every episode of The Last of Us drops, there will be a special episode of the Goggler podcast, spoiler-filled, where we talk about all of this stuff. What I might do, because the TV show skews so closely to the format of the game or the structure of the game, I might start replaying The Last of Us.
Oh, okay.
And then see how it compares. I played it such a long time ago that I remember the big moments. But not the little ones. So I might start replaying it. It's not a very long game. I might start replaying it in order to be able to compare what the series has done with the video game. So that way, Bahir can approach it with fresh eyes and I can kind of give you the video game perspective of it.
You can approach it with a refreshed eyes.
Refreshed eyes.
Look what I did there. I'm a writer.
So that's what we're going to do. The Last of Us drops Monday, January 16th. It's Sunday in the US, but you know, Monday morning for us. You can watch it on Astro Channel 411 or HBO Go. Let us know what you think once you've seen it. You know what? We're pretty sure you're going to love it. Write us anyway. GogglerMY are all of our social media feeds. podcast@goggler.my is our email address. And we have a hotline, WhatsApp hotline, 012-524-5208. You can also find us on Discord, where we have a very happening new server and conversation going on. Just drop us a DM and we'll give you the link to join our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.